Welcome to Air Jaren. This broadcast is produced by Global Radio Ministries and Jaren Ministries International. The teaching series we are in is the New Testament book of Colossians.
For the past few weeks we have been dealing with the marks of the mature Christian. Let's listen as John Shabagalian sings his composition, When You Run.
Brothers, sisters, sons and daughters, we get one life. We were meant to live abundant, and we get one life.
Away. when you run your race. Sisters, sons and daughters, we get one life.
Pastor Cece has been describing three levels of spiritual maturity, referring to the Apostle John's letter to believers in the first century, lovingly calling them little children.
From 1 John 2:12 through 14. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one.
So, there are the three levels of maturity. Level number one. Children in the faith, whose chief characteristic is that they know the Heavenly Father. Level number two. The young men in the faith, who have learned the tactics needed to overcome the evil one, that is, Satan, who have become strong as a result of the word of God abiding regularly in them as a familiar friend. And level number three. Fathers in the faith, known by the one crowning attribute. Knowing him, Jesus Christ, who is from the beginning.
And now Pastor Cece will expand on the distinguishing mark of a mature Christian, distinguishing mark number six, a powerful life. A powerful life is one that demonstrates God's strength and not our own. A life that pleases God in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened in all power, according to his glorious might. Here is Pastor Cece.
You know, one of the many Hebrew names of God is El Shaddai. Everybody say it. It's a compound name, but it's a redundant name. Elohim Shaddai, because Elohim means the strong one and Shaddai means the mighty one. So really, when you say El Shaddai, you're saying the mighty one who is stronger than any stronger thing that's the mightiest thing in the entire universe. No one like him, because when you say God, everybody say God, you've now said power, ultimate power, the omnipotence of God, El Shaddai. No power that compares, but that same power is available to us, and that's the spirit of an almighty, omnipotent God who indwells you because of the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross. I know the clock's running, but don't pay attention. You're going to nap this afternoon. I want to talk to you about the power of God. Might I do that? Zechariah 4 verse 6, he says, not by human might, nor by human power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Philippians 4:13, we quote it, I don't know that we believe it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Acts 1:8, Jesus himself said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Ephesians 3:16, that you're strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. Oh, we can tell you the story of a Samson, that he-man. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit would come upon him and the Holy Spirit would leave. He was empowered and disempowered. But not you, because you have more than a Samson. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what lion's den you're facing. But like a Daniel, you can see the power of God to deliver you from that lion's den. That's what we're talking about. The problem is not the power of God. The problem is our disconnection from it. A disconnection that comes from unconfessed sin. A disconnection that comes from abiding doubt. A disconnection that comes from an anemic faith. A disconnection that comes when you think that you get away with not growing in the Lord. That you're okay where you're at. Because at least it's better than somebody else who is less mature than you. And this sucks the power of God out of your life. That's why Paul's praying. That's why he prayed. And God has an interesting way of reminding us of his power. When early days of Jaron Ministries, I had this old Macintosh. And I'm not talking like 126, 128 or whatever it is, or 514. I mean, it was an old one. And we had to have screensavers in those days because the screen would just black out or be imprinted. So I bought a Star Trek screensaver. So every 10 or 15 minutes, arbitrarily, Captain Kirk would come on the scene and say something from one of his famous lines. Well, one afternoon, I'm begging God, because we're out of money at Jaron, and we've got opportunities beyond our capability, and I'm praying, and I'm pouring my heart out with a fellow worker there, and suddenly my computerized Captain Kirk shouted from the screen, "Give me more power, Scotty!" And without skipping a beat, the guy I was praying with said, "Yes, Lord, we need more power to boldly go where no one has gone before." That's what Paul is saying here. It's not complicated. It's not some complicated formula for Christian growth. It's a simple prayer from his heart in which he asks each of us to experience the fullness of a growing life that increases daily in the knowledge of God. A powerful life that demonstrates God's strength and not our own. Let me say it even more simply. He's praying that we would be filled with God's wisdom to grow and God's power to go. We need both. I have two personal questions for you. These have been questions I've been asking myself. This has been probably the busiest of the last couple of weeks that I've had in recent decades. And it took nothing short of the power of God to get through them. But question one that I asked myself, I want you to ask yourself, what are the evidences of the power of God in my life? Secondly, what are those things that I desire to do that are impossible unless God does it? And I could stand here and give you story after story about the evidences that have overshadowed my insecurities, my weaknesses, my inabilities. I'll share a few of those, might I? You see, given my family history, I never thought I could enjoy a healthy marriage. We just celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary to a woman who I would die for, who was my best friend, because of the power of God. I never thought I had the ability to finish college. I was reminded often that I'm not that smart. And I believed that lie, like many of us do. So I refused to go to college. Somebody encouraged me to go to college, and I rather enjoyed it. But I said, no way could I make it through seminary. I don't have the smarts. And I went to seminary. I said, well, that's it, because I'm barely made it. Well, that's not true. I did very well by God's grace. And somebody said, I think we need to go on for a doctorate. I said, there's no way that this kid can do that. And I finished a doctorate because of the power of God. Not my efforts, not my skills, God's power. I never thought I could preach. The first time I preached, the elders came to me and said, that's not your gift. The second time I preached, the elders came to me and said, didn't you hear what we said the first time? The third time I preached, they suggested another vocation. True. And I went before the Lord. And I said, God, you've called me to preach and I don't have the ability to preach. And here I stand after 35 years because of the power of God. It's the goodness of God, but it's the power of God. Listen, the God-sized dream that was to become Jaron Ministries was born out of one verse. I was in a closet praying, hands in the air saying, God, I don't know what to do. I have this burden to train pastors and church leaders, and I don't have the ability, I don't have the education, I don't have the experience, I don't have the reputation. But I was reading Daniel. How can you read Daniel and not step out in faith? And I got to the 11th chapter, the 32nd verse that said, the people who know their God will display strength, take action. Oh, those are the key words. Say it with me. The people who know their God, everybody, the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Those are the themes of a growing and powerful life that Paul talked about in Colossians 1. Knowing God, displaying strength, and taking action. Remember them this week. Knowing God, displaying strength, taking action. That's got to happen for all of us. Because the more you know Him, the more you can display His strength. And the more He wants to do with your life. So it's time, way past time, to go. But I don't want you to just go today. I want you to go and grow today. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for these precious people. What a joy it is to join them in this process of becoming more like Jesus. One day at a time. But You do grow sweeter as the days go by. And Lord, Your promise is that if we want to grow, we'll grow. Sometimes that's painful growth. But Lord, we do. And I pray that You would stimulate us to take another step to excel still more. Because You're worth it. And so we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.
When I think of all I've seen, nothing compares to what You give, and to drink of what You bring, You quench the thirst for me to live. I am satisfied by what tenderness You've shown to me, and I empty to me.
I would know for sure I'm walking in your light. Never thought I'd ever see the day someone would come along and care for me this way. There's a brand new love in this old heart of mine. Took a lot of healing, Lord, took a little time. Now the clouds roll away and the sun's gonna shine. There's a brand new
time.